More conflicts are caused by perspectives than anything else. And this difference of perspective between Paul and Barnabas actually caused a conflict. And it brought about two problems. First of all, it caused bitter emotional feelings between the two of them. And then secondly, it caused division. Perspective caused conflict.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Perspective. You say tomato, I say tomato. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Perspective. You say tomato, I say tomato.
Well, we're continuing on in our series. You got to give the people what they want. And somebody asked for a message on perspective. And so we're going to share with you this morning on perspective. And the title of the message today is, You Say Tomato and I Say Tomato. You know, perspective is all a matter of perspective. Let's look to the Lord. Tomato and I say tomato. It's all a matter of perspective, how you look at things. In your notes, we have a quote by an unknown author who says, the man whose only tool is a hammer tends to see every problem as a nail. And that's so true. You know, oftentimes we approach problems, we address issues from our perspective and how we see things. There was a story that's told of some blind men. And these blind men were asked to come and feel an elephant. And as they came and felt the elephant, somebody asked them to describe what they thought it was. And as they came to feel the elephant, one man felt the trunk, and he said that it must be a drain pipe. Another felt the ear of the elephant, and he said that it's like a fan. Another one felt the elephant's leg, and he said that this must be a pillar. And then somebody put their hand on the back of the elephant, and they said that this feels like a throne. Each one was blind, and each man described what they felt from their own perspective. And so it is with us in life. Oftentimes, we will interpret things in light of our perspective. And that's the meaning and the significance that we give to it as we look at things from our perspective. What is the meaning of perspective? Well, the meaning of perspective is this is the way a person thinks or believes based on knowledge, experience, or your own personality. That you will shape your perspective based on what you think, what you believe, that you've come through as far as your knowledge, experience, or personality. Now, I need to say this, that as we look at perspective today, that there is the biblical perspective, and that is the perspective which we get from the Word of God. The biblical perspective is rooted in the Scripture. The biblical perspective is found in the Bible, and we need to be seeking the biblical perspective. And oftentimes, we elevate our own perspective with the biblical perspective. So as I preach this message today, I'm not talking about the biblical perspective whenever I use the word perspective. I'm talking about your perspective. And so as we go through this message today, I want you to think about what your perspective on a lot of things is. I want you to think about what your perspective means in light of how you even look at the world. And so we see that for purposes of this message today, when we use the word perspective, we're actually talking about your own personal perspective. Now I'm going to ask that you would turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15. And here we see two perspectives, Acts chapter 15. Just had a stink bug fly on my Bible. So what is his perspective? Just make sure it's not on me, right? Where's it at? Oh, okay. All right. He sure knows who to come after, right? All right. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. And after some days, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them again to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being there commended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So here we see two perspectives. We see Paul's perspective, and we see Barnabas' perspective. What was Paul's perspective? Paul said that, look here, the first time we went out preaching the gospel, we went serving the Lord. We saw many folk coming to Christ, getting saved, and we had John Mark with us. And for some reason, whether the work got hard or whether John Mark started missing his mommy at home, whatever the case might be, that John Mark left the work. And so Paul's perspective was, I don't want to take him with me this time. But Barnabas, who was also John Mark's uncle, he said, let's take him. We need to take him on the missions trip as we go forth. That I believe that some things have changed, that he's had a different way of looking at things. And my perspective is that he would be profitable to us as we go forth and preach the gospel. And Paul said, no way, it's not going to happen. So what do you have? You have two perspectives. And it's just like I heard somebody say, there ain't no good guys. There ain't no bad guys. It's just you and me, and we just disagree. And so here you have two godly servants, two great men of God who have a different perspective on things. Now, here's where the rub comes in, is that perspectives cause conflict. Perspectives cause conflict. One of the friends of our biblical counseling ministry, Dr. Sabrina Black, she wrote a book on conflict. And in the book, and I put her quote here in the notes, she talks about perspective. And this is what she says. Perspective causes conflict. And perspective is how we see things. God has created each of us in his image to reflect his glory, and yet we are unique. None of us are exactly the same. None of us think exactly the same way. And so we are bound to see things from different perspectives. While it is natural for each of us to see things differently, listen to this. I didn't realize this until I read this quote. She says, more conflicts are caused by perspective than anything else. Let that sink in for a little bit. More conflicts are caused by perspectives than anything else. And this difference of perspective between Paul and Barnabas actually caused a conflict. And it brought about two problems. First of all, it caused bitter emotional feelings between the two of them. And then secondly, it caused division. Perspectives cause conflict. And as a pastor, I've seen this happen over and over again. How two people with different outlooks, with different ways of looking at things, with different perspectives, how that when they came at odds with one another and they started to bump heads on something, notice, that was not necessarily biblical, but it was just the way that they thought or the way that they felt about something, and they felt so strongly about it that it actually caused a conflict between two individuals. Perspectives cause bitter emotional feelings. Look what the scripture says in Acts chapter 15 and verse 39. It says, and the contention was so sharp between them. Let's stop right there. And the contention, that word contention in the Greek, you know what it means? It means emotional, heated emotional feelings. It refers to a heated emotional exchange, watch this, that gives rise to anger and bitterness. That Paul and Barnabas had a heated emotional exchange which gave rise to anger and the bitterness. And so we see here that as these two individuals got into it, you know, we don't see that they shook hands and said, kumbaya, let us go our way. But the scripture says that they got angry and they were bitter as a result of them having a different perspective on things. And how many times have husbands and wives got into heated emotional debates and bitterness and anger has arisen because they had different perspectives on things? It may have been a different perspective on how they were to spend their money. It may have been a different perspective on how they were to raise their children. It may have been a different perspective on what color they were supposed to paint a certain room. And yet and still, those perspectives, if they are not directed and channeled in a godly way, that they can get out of control. And when they get out of control, we can see in the lives of Paul and Barnabas that they cause some bitter emotional feelings. And then the second thing that we see is that it caused a division. It says in verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren unto the grace of God. That this exchange between them became so heated that they parted company. And here we see two great men of God, two great servants of God that departed because they had a different perspective on things. Now, I'll say this, that I believe that God used this division to multiply the kingdom. All right, there's no question about that. That as a result of them splitting and going out and preaching the gospel, that they were able to do more and go to more places. So I believe that God used that. However, these were some godly servants, and they could not work together with one another because of their perspective, and so they divided. Now, we see here the next thing is that what are some things that shape our perspective? What are some things that shape our perspective? Well, first of all, our past experience. They shape our perspective. John Mark had disappointed Paul, and now Paul didn't want to have anything to do with him. So what was Paul basing his perspective of John Mark on? He was basing it on something that happened in the past. And I don't know how many people, they operate out of their perspective based on something that happened to them in the past. That, you know, you don't want to give somebody a second chance because, you know, they did something the first time. And so your perspective on that individual now is, well, you know what? I know them, and you know, I refuse to give them a second chance. And so Paul was basing his perspective on his past experience. And just think, what are some of your perspectives on life? Most of us who have a perspective about something, it generally comes out of something that has happened to us. And as we reflect back over our lives, we look at some significant things, whether good or bad, that has happened. And then we begin to shape and we begin to mold our perspective. And now this is the way that we think. So everything that we deal with, we run through the grid of our perspective based on something that has happened in our past. And we see not only do past experience shape our perspective, but even our personality shape our perspective. Look at Acts chapter 4. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. And here is talking about believers ministering to one another. And in verse 36, it says, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas." Oh, so who are we talking about now? Talking about who? Barnabas. Well, what did we read about Barnabas? In Acts 15, the same Barnabas. What did they name him? Barnabas. And why did they name him Barnabas? Look at this, which is being interpreted son of exhortation or encouragement. Here, Barnabas was one who had a personality of encouragement. And that was his makeup. So how was he viewing the situation? Whereas Paul was looking at the message and saying, we got to get the message out. Barnabas was looking at the messenger. And he's saying, let's take this brother along with us. Sure. Now, can you imagine Barnabas? Sure, Paul. He let us down the first time. Sure, Paul. He deserted us on the road. Sure, Paul. He didn't want to go with us that first time. But look, let's give the brother another chance. I believe he's made things right. I believe that he wants to go out and make a difference for Jesus Christ. And so this is the spirit. And this is the personality of Barnabas. And so sometimes we allow our perspective to be shaped out of our personality. And if we have a negative personality, then that's going to determine how we see a lot of things. And now, put up that next slide. I did this. We actually, when we were in Philadelphia the last year, they did an assessment that I wish I was going to do it this morning, but it was just too much. I mean, it was too detailed. I would have had to go into a lot of detail. But they gave four personality types, and they showed how that each one of these personality types responded in conflict. And how that the way they responded was out of their perspective. And so as you understand people and their perspective, then you can understand how they respond in conflict. So I said, well, let me just take something that most of us are already familiar with and just show us how even our spiritual gifts. And what are our spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are desires that the Lord puts in our heart. Or spiritual gifts are gifts that the Spirit brings whenever we get saved. And as we read the book of Romans, we see that there are seven gifts. There's the prophet, the servant, the teacher, the exhorter, the giver, the leader, and the merciful. And if you don't know what your gifts are, I would admonish you to get in contact with the people in the church here that administer the spiritual gift test so that you can understand what your gift is. Because not only does it help you to serve in ministry, but it also helps you to understand what your perspective on a lot of things will be, all right? It'll help you understand so that when I'm in a meeting and I understand, and you know, a lot of times I can, you know, we were in a meeting this morning and somebody said something and I said, I know what your gift is, right? You know, right there, we can understand, all right? And so it helps us understand how people react in a lot of situations, all right? So these are found in Romans chapter 12. The first one is the prophet. And the prophet looks at things from a black and white perspective. You know, to the prophet, there's no gray areas. You know, you're either right or you're wrong. And you know, another thing about the prophet is that the prophet has very little toleration for anybody else that's wrong. I mean, they're very short, and that's the only way that they see things. So if I'm in a dialogue with somebody that's a prophet, you know, they're going to be, for the most part, very hard, because that's their perspective on things. You know, their perspective is that it can't be any other way. that if somebody got into trouble, they shouldn't have been doing what they were doing. If they weren't doing what they were doing, they wouldn't have got in trouble. And that's their perspective. All right? We move on and we see that there is the servant perspective. And the servant sees things from a need base. So whereas the prophet would be hard and come down on the person, the servant would say, well, how can we serve this brother or sister? You know, sure, they fell on hard times. Sure, they ran into something that was difficult. But how can we serve them? And the prophet says, look, man, what's wrong with you? We don't need to be trying to serve them. This guy's in sin. He's doing the wrong thing. And so what do you got? Right here, you got different perspectives, and you got what? You got tension going on. You know, I don't know for a fact, but, well, one thing that we do know for sure is that Barnabas had the gift of exhortation. We know that because the scripture says that he had that. If I had to guess what spirit that Paul had, I'd probably say it was the spirit of a prophet. And Paul said, no, we can't take him. There's no wiggle room here. This guy can't go with us. And Barnabas is looking at it from a whole nother perspective. And so you see the power of perspective, and then you got people that are teachers. And how are they going to look at the situation? They're going to look at it analytically. And they're going to say, well, you know, if you wouldn't have went down this road in the first place, if you would have took the road across the street, and then you had to realize that not too many people were going down this road, so you should have saw that there was going to be a problem, and you should have crossed over. And if you would have crossed over, then you wouldn't have ran. So what is it? Analyzes, right? So the prophet gets frustrated with the teacher because the teacher wants to analyze. And the prophet just said, look, no, there's no analyzing this. And so again, what you got? And you know what, saints? I see it. Oh my goodness, I see it here at Bethany all the time. I see these gifts clashing with one another. And we need to realize that God didn't give us the gifts to clash with one another. God gave us the gifts to complement one another. But when we take our gifts to an extreme, that's when we start getting in trouble. And it's like I said, there ain't no good guys, there ain't no bad guys. It's just you and me. And we just disagree. And so the teacher comes at things from an analytical perspective. The exhorter looks at things from an optimistic perspective. If you study these gifts out, you know, I'm just, you know, we teach a whole series on spiritual gifts here. So I'm just kind of bringing it from one aspect. But if you study it out, you'll see what I'm saying. It's true. The exhorter looks at things optimistically. Well, you know what? Praise God. He might have failed. He might have fell into sin. That's why you ever notice when somebody falls into sin and the prophet is like, oh, no, don't give him another chance. You know? And the exhorter is, come on, let's give this brother another chance. Let's give this sister another chance. And so what begins to happen? There begins a conflict between the prophet and the exhorter. Why? Because the prophet is finished. The prophet is done. And the exhorter says, no, we can salvage this. We can get something out of this. You got the giver. And how does the giver look at things? From an assessment perspective, the giver says, well, because they have the gift of giving, you know, they want to know what the needs are.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Perspective. You say tomato, I say tomato. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Perspective, You Say Tomato and I Say Tomato, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Perspective. You Say Tomato, I Say Tomato. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Perspective. You say tomato and I say tomato. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.